Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I thought Ben Folds 5 represented Ben Folds and the five musicians that are in the band. Wouldn't you think? There's only three guys in the band. So then Ben Folds 5 took on something else, some other kind of meaning. I'm thinking, if it's five, you ain't folding it. So then I thought, I don't know what I thought, but here, you can have your CD back there. Thanks a lot for nothing, Craig. Ben Folds 5. That's that garbage he feeds down the line when you guys are listening down the network to make sure, hoping against hope that this show may not be on the air, and then lo and behold, there it is. All that stuff we feed down the, quote, line, the network music, so that you know that we're up and running, that you know that we're sitting here working hard, when in point of fact, we're blasting up, having ourselves, you know, just a real, it's nothing too serious. Just firing up. Look, I got a drug problem. Somebody got a problem with that. You know who to call. I ain't using on the air. I ain't telling you when I'm using. Taylor uses while we're on the air, not me. And Schaefer, Jesus, give him a call. See what state he's in today. Look at the state of him. I'm kidding around. Now he's all offended. He's such a pro. You're such a pro. Okay, the pool gets, let's see, we break ground on the pool Thursday. All right! And I can't believe it. I can't afford it. This is the end of my life. As I recalled, and I mentioned this to some chaps the other night, we were at that just ragingly exciting Clipper game. I said, oh boy, was that a ball. You know, I'm watching the Clippers. It's taken me days to get them out of my mind. Days, literally. I cannot shake the idea and the image, the picture of those guys dogging it up and down the floor. You've never seen so many turnovers, so many worthless and unnecessary turnovers in that middle of that Clipper game. But I'll tell you what, that luxury suite was pretty nice. So I'm telling these guys, I said, you know, when I was a kid, I was seven, and I remember I awoke to the sound of a tractor going down the side of the house. And I said, Jesus, look at that. And it went around the back, and it started digging the hole in the backyard. They were putting in a pool at our house. Yes, there was a time in my life when my parents had money. Lasted about 4 years, but we had it. And I remember looking back through the kitchen window. I swear to God, Mike, my father was sitting at the kitchen table, and I could see the silhouette of him throwing shots back at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. That's the truth. I know you think I'm kidding, but that's the he'd be like, I'd see the bottle, he'd lift the bottle to his shot glass. My father was not a heavy drinker. He was a social drinker at best. But on that one morning, I remember seeing him tossing these shots back and dropping shot glasses into beers. Can you imagine a man that's not a heavy drinker on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. with a tractor ripping hell out of his backyard? He's pouring a shooter full of Bushmills and dropping it into a glass full of, you know, Heineken or whatever. Taking another bite of what? Taking another bite. Taking another bite of a cereal, right? So years later, I finally got up the guts. I said to him, Dad, you know, this is back in Arcadia, California, suburban Los Angeles, 1960. I said, Dad, years later, what were you doing, man? You know, I mean, if you don't mind me asking you, what were you doing that morning?
What morning?
The morning I saw you throwing back shots in the kitchen when they were putting the pool in. He said to me, I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. He said, I had no idea. They were putting a pool in. I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. Well, I laugh now, but come Thursday morning, come on over. You want a drink? Because when that dude rolls that bobcat down my driveway and starts ripping hell out of my I'm choking on the word luxuriously landscaped backyard, you're all invited to come on over. I'm doing shots. Because I got no idea how I'm going to pay for that either. Guess what? And I was looking at my Sharper Image catalog, and it has some of the coolest floating chairs you ever saw. Let me ask you, what pisses you off more, somebody directly hitting on your girlfriend or just discussing which floating chair he'd like to get for his pool? I guess vicariously can lift the guy the ladder, right? They have some very nice floating chairs, so I'm going to have to look into this. Of course, any floating chair I get, any toy I get, anything that I get that will gratify me, has something to do with me, has something to do with my happiness, has something to do with me being an adult. Anything that I bring into that house, sooner or later, gets taken over by kids. My floating chair, my computer, doesn't matter, it's going to be taken over by a kid. I could buy a motorcycle, I could buy a tank, I could park a tank, and I could put a sign on it that says, no kid in this tank. Next thing you know, they're rolling down the street in my tank. They'll be in my tank. Everything I have, everything that I am, is sooner or later co-opted by a kid. My pool table. And let me tell you something. You know that Elian Gonzalez kid? You get him back to Cuba, help his old man buy a pool table. That kid will go back to Cuba like that. All you got to do is send his old man, what's his father's name, Juan? Send him the jack for a pool table. Send, you know, I don't know, they got a, do you think they got a good pool table store in Havana? I bet you they do. Juan Miguel Gonzalez, send this fine gentleman who wants his son home, and I can certainly understand that. Send him enough grease for a pool table, and that cat's, he's living large. So anyway, I got the pool table this weekend, and it was co-opted by all kinds of slimy, swarming, pimply kids all over that thing. You know, I mean, dragging it across the felt and beating my ass and everything else. I mean, they were doing things like dropping the rack on the floor. You know, first of all, they were abusing the table. Secondly, they were kicking my ass. I lost like five straight games. I'm losing five straight games to Alex. He's 12, and he's just learned. So anyway, the Sharper Image catalog has got all kinds of wonderful things that I can begin to utilize once the pool table gets completely co-opted, because that thing isn't mine any longer. And then my wife is on that thing till 2 o'clock in the morning. There's something going on in my house. You know Amityville Horror, where the thing says, get out? This pool table's taken over my wife. It's making love to my wife. I can see, she had the stereo cranked up full blast, 3 a.m., shooting pool, doing shots. This is completely out of character. Dropping shot glasses into beer glasses and all of that. I said, honey, it's three. I had to come down there in a terry cloth robe, as emasculated as a man can be. When a man has to stand in a terry cloth robe at a doorway while his wife's shooting pool and say, when are you coming to bed? You have lost any hint of gonad. All semblance gone. Gone. When you have to stand there in a terry cloth robe that says something like, I don't know, Moore's Hotel or Ritz-Carlton, and maybe you have just a hint of sort of a Vaseline mask that you've put on, and there's your wife. You know,
hi,
honey.
What?
I'd like to. Are you coming to bed soon?
Sure, baby. One more game. I'm up to bed.
And when you have to stand there in bare feet, the terry cloth robe, bun hugger, you know, undies. And you're standing there sort of with your arms folded across your chest like some Hausfrau. You're tapping your foot on the, you know, on the linoleum. And there's your wife is standing there just as butch as any truck driver you want to talk about. Just butched out. Butched up and butched on. She's butched out, up, and on, man. And she's shooting pool, Jack. She's shagging. She's lagging. She's getting it. And she's on her 18th beer. Give me another beer. How many are you going to give me another beer? Well, then you know. Or as Patton said, when you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a minute before was your best friend's face, you'll know what to do. And she kicked my ass. She did, Craig. She played me about 6-7 games this weekend. I'm telling you, we were on a freaking pool table from sun up to sundown. Two solid days. I knew that when I bought that thing, that I would enjoy it. I had no idea that the family would just glom. And the great thing about it, seriously, is the kids are, they're off that N64 now. I mean, the strategy brothers are no more. Because first of all, these cats, they don't have the game. I mean, you know, we don't let them bring it to the house on the weekends. So there is no N64. The Dreamcast isn't there. They're, whatever the hell is that other one? That PlayStation is not there. Plus, I limit their TV time. I'm just the evil stepfather. I just put a brand new satellite dish, right? It's getting every channel, every movie channel. We got it going on. And the first thing I said to them was, no TV! Which was bullcrap. I let them watch Superman 2. I mean, which is actually kind of punishment. They didn't know it, but I was torturing them. Hey, you want to see a really good movie? Sure, Superman 2. Superman 2 is like, it's that bad animation compared to the stuff these kids are watching, right? You compare that to The Matrix, Superman 2, where the guy's superimposed over a blue screen, just... And the kids are sitting there going, this sucks! What are you trying to pull? This blows on ice! I'm sorry, this is the movie, this is Superman 2, this is great, it sucks! Quit it! When a kid starts bawling... because you forced them to watch Superman 2, you'll know what to do. So we watched that. It's actually a great movie. They liked it. It was very funny, especially when they blow over that phone booth and the guy's there still on the phone talking to his bookie, having himself a big laugh. That was great. So, but anyway, they're off of that crap and they're playing pool. And I mean, they are playing for quarters and they're slapping the quarters down. Hey, I'm next game, you know, and all that stuff. Even though there's no, you know, it's not a money operated table, they still like to throw the quarter down and say next game. And they're like, they're choosing each other off now. And one of them, but you know, they took Chris out back and busted his thumbs. They thought he was hustling. Really cool stuff like that from the movie. We don't like sharks around here. What are you talking about? I'm your kid brother. Ooh-ah! So it's a good thing. And this is the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. That's our number, 1-800-449-8686. I want to tell you about the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. There you can purchase the best of the Hendry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. You may be able to pick up other copies of other CDs from other years. I don't know. I don't know what we got left from 98 or 97. There might even be some old Miami stuff there, although I doubt it. But check it out, philhendryshow.com, $116,000. And I think we'd made $116,000 on Friday, so we didn't sell one CD over the weekend, or did we? We're actually at a pretty pathetic pace. I mean, with all due respect to all of the fine people that support us, I think we're selling like 3 a day now. You know, in other words, shouldn't we start selling keychains or something, or lighters? Something to get the business in the store? We're doing about 300 a day? 20 into 3, what's that, 6? No, that's, how many is that a day? 15 a day. All right. Anyway, go buy one. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Weather's been great. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, my Clockwork Orange CD's messed up. That's what happens. See, I could blame Craig. I could blame Mike. I could blame Melissa, who just wandered in here late. But I'm kidding. But I will blame, very honestly, myself, because I carry that around in my work bag without a jewel case on it for months, maybe even years. Oh, look at, oh, that's nice. Look at what spooge on, what spooge cometh. Look at that on the side of the CD. It's some grease of some kind. I think I had lunch on this. You know, when they first made CDs, they told you you could drive over these things. They would be indestructible. You could play them until the cows came home. They told you they were just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now we find out they're even more fragile than vinyl. Probably just even more delicate than vinyl. And for the most part, Mr. Schaefer tells me they were right. They were indestructible. Unless Hendry gets his hands on one. There you go. Unless a guy who doesn't know anything about taking care of music. I'm not an audiophile like my good friend. What happened to Kubrick? You know, he used to be... Oh, he's dead? Anyway, so we took a walk the other day. Weather's been nice, hasn't it? And it's been nice in Los Angeles. I don't know where you're hearing the show, but it's been great here. 80 degrees. Another reason you want to move out here? Great. The weather's fantastic. Come on out. There's plenty of room, and the taxes are lower than ever. You go get me a brand new Clockwork Orange CD? You don't have to, man.
Going to tower tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Just take that one. Go ahead. Throw it out the window. See who gets hurt. So anyway, the weather's been great here in L.A. We've had 80 degrees. I think it's mid to upper 80s today. The beach has been just beachy. The people are riding. I saw a Ferrari. Actually, I saw a Ferrari parked down at Paradise Cove yesterday in Malibu. And one of the kids walked by and said, piece of crap, it's an old one. Can you believe that? This is the generation we're raising now. I said, Alex, look, a Ferrari. Yeah, an old one. It's garbage. Garbage! Look at that, man. Look at that gorgeous tan interior, that fire engine red. Yeah, it's rolling crap. Rolling crap. You're 12. Where do you ever get the temerity to say that a Ferrari, even an old Ferrari, is rolling crap? Piss off. What? So anyway, it's been really nice. And so we were taking a walk. I was out because I'm trying to lose weight, as you know. I've been doing that for the last, since I got fat, which is going on 4 years now. Since I quit smoking, really. You give up those cigarettes and there's nothing like food. There's nothing like a barbecue. Yesterday we barbecued. That'll make it 20 days straight. Barbecuing things like, you know, what's fattening crap to barbecue? Actually, nothing really, but it's the stuff you have with it. It's all that ice cream. So we took a walk and saw all the beautiful sights. Saw kind of a horsey down near these stables near where we live. Went up into the mountains there, Ventura County. Saw this horse. And Marie says, oh, this would be great. We got to go get Catherine. I said, yeah, let's go get Catherine. She'd love it. She's eight. She can feed the horses apples and crap like that. And we went back to get her. And I said, Catherine, come on. It's a surprise. And she broke down in tears, bawling, crying, wailing. Where are you taking me? I don't want no part of this because I'm the stepdad. You go with your mom and you cry. It's going to look like I'm kidnapping you or something. You go, well, I don't want to know. Where's everybody going? She was screaming and crying because on Saturday I pulled an April Fool's joke on Nick. Me and the two little guys, we said, let's pull an April Fool's joke on Nick. I said, okay. What do you guys want to do? Let's tell him that the house has been contaminated by uranium and we have to take him to a decontamination site in Arizona. I said, perfect. He'll buy that. So we drove up to the house. I called ahead first. I said, I think I call my wife honey on occasion. Honey, why don't you get him and his clothes out front? Get Nick out front. Tell him you don't know what's up. She's okay. What are you going to do? We're going to pretend like it's a decontaminated site and blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. So we pull up and Nicholas jumps in the car. He says, what's going on? And I'm on the phone doing some phony baloney covert stuff like, right, package four. I have the package. And we're driving off, and he's going, what are you guys doing? And the two little guys, of course, can't keep a straight face. The house is discontaminated. Thanks, guys. So I'm thinking, the longer I drive, the more he's going to believe it, even if these two squirrels are going nuts in the back seat about how it's a joke. So I start driving like I'm about halfway to Santa Barbara, and my wife calls on the cell phone going, what are you doing? I said, I got to make it real. We're going to Santa Barbara. Will you turn around and come back? So as I'm driving back, I asked him, did you believe it? He said, no, not at all. You suck, all you guys. At one point, I dropped him off on a street corner. I said, yeah, a guy will come by in a white car. Just stay here. It's covert. Roger, roger. And I drove away. He sat down on the curb, you know. He's like, oh, man, this is sad. So I went back and I got him. I said, well, what were you thinking? He says, I thought you'd be back in about a minute. April Fool's joke. So then one of them, Alexander, says to me, I got a really good idea for an April. This would be a really funny April Fool's joke. I said, what, Alex? This would be great. You can get into an elevator with about seven people, cut a really corrosive, stench-ridden fart, and then say, April Fool's. I go, what do you mean, April Fool's? That ain't no April Fool's joke. Yeah, it is. It qualifies. How does that qualify? That ain't no April Fool's joke. That's torture. That's against the law, in fact. It's got to be against the law. Well, you could get into an elevator, cut a fart, and say it's April Fool's. Yeah, you could, man. You wouldn't have many friends. You might not get out of that elevator alive. You might be something out of the Towering Inferno. Remember that guy that went down the elevator shaft on fire? That's you. Anyway. Well, I think it's a pretty good idea. It sucks. Get out of here. No more April Fool's jokes. So anyway, you guys are invited to the house on Thursday. I'll be giving out the address later on. Sure I will. And you come on over and you can sit there and watch. We'll pay admission to stand there at the window and watch me doing shooters while the tractor rips hell out of my backyard. And when the guy walks up and says, yeah, have you got that cashier's check? I'll go, shh, plumb forgot. I'll just keep plumb forgetting, man, until they get it plumbed. And then, well, we'll see where we go from there. And there ain't no smog, and the weather is beautiful, and it's the Phil Hendry Show here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Melissa's got some new stuff there. Bobby Dooley's got some stuff up. Margaret Gray has some new stuff. It's full of crap. That's philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This was from the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of California, Los Angeles, otherwise known as UCLA. If you take a look at your right hand, is your ring finger longer than your index finger? This was like, what, last Thursday that this story came out. Is your ring finger longer than your index finger? A group of scientists says these finger lengths may provide a hint as to whether you are gay. And this finding, they say, adds to the growing body of evidence that biology at least partly determines sexual orientation. Now, that story came out on Thursday. Mike Schaefer, my producer, was looking at the wires over the weekend, and we've got a story relative to this, and we may have the very first lawsuit filed relative to this story from Corona, California. The owner of a construction firm, a construction contractor, is suing for sexual harassment or is contemplating a lawsuit of sexual harassment. Now, what makes this different is this man is a straight man. He is a heterosexual, but he is suing or is contemplating a lawsuit of sexual harassment based upon this story. His name is Stephen Bazell. We have him on the line from Corona, California this afternoon. And Mr. Bazell, how are you doing?
I'm doing real well.
And, sir, where are you calling? You're in Corona?
Yes, sir. I live in Corona, California. My office is in Riverside, California.
Now, you were out and you were apparently on a job site, correct?
I was working on a job site near my home in Corona. And this is a 25-story medical plaza that we have the concrete construction contract on. We also do some of the framing out there. And I was measuring a door jamb and door frame, helping out some of the framing carpenters out there that day. And one of the framing carpenters came by. I've been told I'm not allowed to mention his name.
No, sir. Please do not.
Well, one of the framing carpenters did come by and began laughing and making some jokes. And saying things to me like, you know, how's it possible you're a father, and this kind of thing. And you know, what are you doing being married and that kind of thing.
Now all you're doing is measuring a door frame.
All I was doing was standing there measuring a door frame. Yes, sir.
And is this man known to you?
The defendant is known to me. Yeah.
And, have you decided to sue?
I'm contemplating it. We most probably will. Yes, sir.
All right, so this defendant is known to you. Is he an employee?
No, sir. He's not an employee of mine. He's an employee of a plumbing contractor who was working the building at that time.
All right, so you were measuring a door, and he says, "Boy, how could you have kids, and how could you be married?"
Yes, he started making references like that. I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't get the joke at all." And he said, "Read it and weep." And he slapped an L.A. Times against my stomach. And naturally, at that particular point now, I'm beginning to panic a little bit because I don't know what he's saying. He comes by, he says, "Boy, how could you have kids? And how could you be married?" And all I was doing was measuring a door frame. And
all right, the assumption being that he saw your hands?
I'm assuming that he was looking at my hands, yeah. And I said, "I don't get the joke." And he says, "Read it and weep." And he threw this L.A. Times at me. Now I began to panic, and I could feel a little bit of the panic kick in. So I tore through the L.A. Times. I tore after it, section after section, story after story. And there it was, kind of, I don't know if you've ever been in a position where your worst fears are realized or whether you know what true fear is, but there it was in black and white.
And the thing that you're saying was there in black and white was the story out of UCLA that your ring finger and your index finger.
The story was there that if your ring finger is longer than your index finger...
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you need a glass of water?
Just hold on for a minute.
Okay, so go ahead.
The story was, if your ring finger is longer than your index finger, that you might be gay. And I looked at my ring finger, and that was the case.
So the assumption being that this guy that you know came by, saw your ring finger, saw your... And my engineer right now is looking at his fingers.
I don't know a man who doesn't. And I don't know a man who hasn't heard this story break and isn't already looking at his fingers. I have a rather long ring finger.
Well, I'm looking at my ring finger, and I'm looking at my index finger right now. And I suppose it depends on how I'm holding it, but my ring finger...
Is it longer than your index finger?
No, it's not, actually. It's a little bit shorter. Is yours that much longer?
Mine is pronounced. Are you sure that your ring finger isn't longer than your index finger?
Let me look again. Schaefer, let me see your hand, man. See if your ring finger is longer than your... Oh, you are gay. No, I'm kidding. No, now, Melissa, this doesn't work for women.
Are you saying that your engineer's gay?
No, he's not. I was joking around. No, it's...
Well, this is not a joking matter, I don't think, sir, because...
No, I understand that.
Because of the fact that my attorney, Mr. Epstein, John Epstein, tells me that we did not have a case of mental cruelty. I was hoping that I could sue for mental cruelty and that he had inflicted emotional distress on me. But
and is your attorney telling you that you do not have a case there?
My attorney does advise me not to sue for mental cruelty, but my attorney does tell me that we do have a case of sexual harassment. And I tell you something right now, I think I've really got an opportunity to win this one. I've been involved in some lawsuits, but I think I've, for the first time in a long time, I think I got a shot at winning this one.
Your attorney feels that you can sue this guy for sexual harassment?
Yes, sir.
Why?
According to my lawyer, this man came by and made comments about me, assuming that I was gay. That even though I'm not gay, he assumed that I was gay, so it is sexual harassment. And
I don't get it. I mean, so I guess if you were gay, right?
If he was harassing me based upon his perception of my sexual orientation.
Okay, I understand that.
And even though I'm not gay, and even though that I've never have been gay, nor would I ever want to be, that I can sue him for harassing me for being gay because he thought I was.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Bozell?
Certainly.
You heard about this story. You read the story about the ring finger being longer than the index finger. That makes you gay.
That's what they say. That's what the paper says.
All right. Well, if you read a little bit further, I don't think they're saying 100%. But let me ask you this. Your ring finger is longer than your index finger?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. Are you attracted to Ben?
No, sir, I'm not. Not in the very least.
Okay, so isn't that the first step, okay? Isn't that the first step?
I mean, I could be gay. All I'm saying is...
No, but if that's the first step, you're not attracted to men, then you're not gay.
I know that I'm not, but I might be. Okay, I know that I'm not, but I might be. And what about my fingers?
What about your fingers? If you're not, what do you mean you know that you're not?
I know that I'm not gay. In my heart, I know that I'm not, because I'm not attracted to men, and I'm not, and I don't have those feelings. But look at my finger, okay? And what if I am?
But everything in your life points to the fact that you're a heterosexual. Now you want to sue this guy for what? For sexual harassment?
Initially I wanted to sue him because he had inflicted mental cruelty on me. Now I feel I have a case for sexual harassment because he harassed me not because I am gay, because he thought I was gay, but that would be harassment if I am gay.
And you think that you might be gay?
I think I could be, yeah.
Even though you know that you're not?
I don't think I am, no.
You don't like men?
I'm not attracted to no man, okay? I wish you'd stop that.
Not sure, please, hold on for a minute.
No, but Mr. Henry, since I come on the program, you're making some inferences.
Sir, I'm not making any inferences. I'm simply saying, I'm pointing out to you, and I hope successfully, that you have no feelings of attraction to men, so you're probably not gay, and so therefore, why worry about being gay?
Because my fingers tell me that I'm gay. If you look at your finger, and you look at it...
Schaefer, let me see. Craig Taylor. Craig Taylor, now his ring finger's shorter than...
That doesn't help me at all.
No, I'm just saying that there are some guys... Hey, Mike, let me see yours. I want to see your fingers, okay? Sit down. Now, see, his ring finger is... Nah, it's about the same size. Are you saying...
Oh, holy Christ.
No, hold on for a minute. Are you saying that in all cases, if the ring finger is longer than the index finger, then that is, in point of fact, a man who is gay?
That's my understanding. And all I'm saying is that I don't feel... At this particular time, that I should ignore the sexual harassment that was inflicted upon me last Friday afternoon on a job site in Corona, California, when that man said to me, "Hey, buddy, I bet you know your wife looks kind of frustrated." And
well, I understand. That's very cruel stuff to say to somebody, all right? But you know, and I know, and your wife knows, the most two most important people in the world know that you're not gay. That's you and your wife. And even if you were gay...
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean it's not going to be... It's not the end of the world, for crying out loud, right?
I'm not gay, okay?
Then why do you feel you were sexually harassed?
Because he thought I was gay. He was harassing me because he thought I was gay, but I'm not. But I could be on account of my finger.
All right, hold the line, all right? Mr. Bozzella, we'll get back to our conversation with you.
Did you want to talk to my attorney at all?
Maybe we would like to speak with your attorney, yeah. So hold on. I know that Mr. Epstein is sitting with you during this interview. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This man is a construction contractor out in Corona, California, who apparently was razzed because his ring finger is longer than his index finger. He was razzed by a fellow worker that he was gay. He's suing him for sexual harassment. Even though he says that he's not gay, he's straight. Now, this is all from a story. I don't know if it's a story that appeared, but it's a story out of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology of the University of California, Los Angeles, that if your ring finger is longer than your index finger, there's a possibility that you are homosexual, or at least there is some biologic evidence that would reflect sexual orientation. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So we have on the line here a man who is considering a sexual harassment suit against a coworker who made some comment like, "Boy, you must be gay," basically is what he said, right, sir?
No, sir, he did not.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is he said something along that...
He alluded to my sexual orientation
because of the ring finger thing.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you're considering a sexual harassment lawsuit.
Yes, I am.
Even though you are not gay.
I am not gay, but he harassed me based upon what he thought I was, that I was gay.
Because you have a ring finger that's longer than your index finger.
It's not something that I want everybody to know.
But okay, but I mean, everybody knows it because that's what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, here is Herkimer on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say several things, actually, and I'll try to make it quick as possible. First of all, my ring finger is longer than my index finger. And I'm a straight man. I'm comfortable with it. I have reasonably normal self-esteem. This guy must have a crazy low self-esteem.
No, but I'm talking about latent homosexuality. That's what they're talking about if you're not conscious of it.
I'm quite conscious of it. My girlfriend's quite conscious of it.
No, I'm not a straight man.
Look at my fingers. Ring finger's obviously longer. Anyway, I want
to
keep going.
What they were saying in the study is...
I read the study, sir.
Okay, you could be latently homosexual. That is, you're not aware of it on a conscious level.
Okay, let me
That you are
now.
Biologically prone to being a homosexual.
Okay, I'm biologically prone to be a homosexual? Is that
yes,
what you're
saying? That's what they're saying.
That's crazy insane. And
they're doctors, sir. You and I aren't.
Sir.
Okay?
As I said... My finger is longer than my pointer finger.
And you're proud of... You're proud of that.
I'm proud of everything I got on me, yes. Yes.
You're proud of the fact someone's going to look at you and say that you're queer?
All right, hold on.
Get to know me and they'll learn about me.
Hold on for a second, okay?
Well, I just want to ask you. If somebody come by and see that you got one finger longer than the other and they made some joke about you being queer...
Man, I used to have long hair. People used to call me queer then.
I got over it, man. You can cut your hair. You can't do nothing about your fingers.
Oh, gosh.
Well, sir, all I'm saying is...
Are you listening to what the man's saying, though? If you have self-esteem, if you know who you are, then what difference does it make?
Because he was harassing me based upon...
You're a scary man to have out there, man. I'll tell you. You got to watch every word you say around people like you. It's crazy.
You
need to find a legit way to make money. When you said that you think you got one this time. You go around suing people for the silliest little things?
No, sir. I'm saying that I feel that I was harassed on account I had one finger longer than the other.
Oh, my. That's all
I'm seeing.
Sir.
Okay, because this guy...
Sir, get a grip.
Get a grip on what?
On yourself.
What does that mean?
You should be comfortable with yourself, man.
I'm very comfortable with myself. I have a wife. I have...
You said that you're concerned that people are looking at your hands.
I'm sorry?
Obviously, you're not comfortable with yourself.
Well, I was totally comfortable with myself until this guy throws the L.A. Times at me.
So you're letting this guy control you?
Well, he says, go read the story.
Now, right, read the story.
And there it is in black and white, telling me that I'm queer as a $3 bill. What do you find
okay, so
funny about that?
It didn't say anything of the sort about you being gay. It said that, as a matter of fact, let me read.
That's a possibility.
It said, let me read the thing here so that everybody is... What the hell happened to it? Basically, take a look at your right hand. Is your ring finger longer than your index finger? A group of scientists says these finger lengths may provide a hint.
May provide.
As to whether you're gay. And this finding, they say, adds to the growing body of evidence that biology at least determines sexual orientation, which most enlightened people believe anyway. Women's index fingers tend to be the same length as their ring fingers, while in men, the second finger is generally shorter than the fourth. In men, the second...
In gay men.
It doesn't say in gay men. It says, in men, the second finger generally is shorter than the fourth. Scientists know the differences between genders occur because male fetuses are exposed to higher levels of testosterone and other male sex hormones, collectively known as androgens in the womb. So, in other words, every man, at some level, has a ring finger longer than his index finger. And I just looked at Craig Taylor's, and by that, you'd figure this guy was Liberace. But, I mean...
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I'm saying my engineer has got a ring finger.
I'm going to get sued by this guy.
Well, I mean, okay, you think it's... You go ahead, pal. You let everybody...
I think that you're digging for a pot of gold here.
No, sir. You let people call you queer and gay boy. You go right ahead.
Okay, I've done it, and it's fine. It doesn't bother me, man. I'm far above that.
And it
far
does?
Above that. And also, I want to know, okay, what's wrong with a gay person? I have friends that are gay.
Absolutely.
There's you know, nothing, I mean, you're making it sound like it's a plague or something.
Hold on. There's nothing wrong with gay people.
Right.
I would never, in my opinion, I would never want to hurt nobody that's gay.
Good.
I'm just saying that I'm not, see?
Okay, and I believe you. That's all I need to know about you, man. I mean, if I call you something, it doesn't make you that, is what I'm saying.
Well, this
you know, you really got to get a grip on yourself, get yourself a job. You know what I'm saying? Stop.
I got a job.
Money.
I own my own
thank
business.
You very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. You hearing what the guy's saying?
I got a job, okay? I own my own business. Nobody going to call me gay boy and get away with it.
Nobody did call you. Well, the one guy, okay? Some dumbass. Okay, look, I mean, with all due respect, I used to work in construction, Mr. Bozell.
Yeah.
And I know how construction workers get at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they're about to finish some cement or they're about to lay some rebar and somebody went and got a six-pack or maybe a case of beer and the sun's been beating on all day. People start making jokes, okay?
Are you going to try to tell me my business now? I never drank no beer on the job.
All right, well, you know what? This guy was a framing carpenter. Chances are he was doing that. And loving it. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Temecula on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a little comment about what the gentleman was talking about. I'm a Christian. I'm married.
Great.
And
God bless
according
you.
According to my religion, and I meant to ask you, sir, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am. We are church people. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then, according to the Bible, then you would know that,
yeah,
that
right away there, I know
it is not even it has nothing to do with your biological form. It's something that you're not. It's not something that you were born
right.
with. It's not.
Let me ask the gentleman Temecula to hang on the line, okay? And we'll ask Mr. Bozell to hang on the line, and we'll take our break here. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Steve Bozell thinks he's gay. 1-800-449-8686.